Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9-3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
The phone rings. It's the police. Or is it? When a voice on the other end of the line asks you to obey him completely or face legal consequences, what would you do? Follow every order, no matter who you hurt? Or would you hang up and spare those around you? This week's episode is The Strip Search Phone Call Scam.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Happy New Year!
And a Happy New Year to you as well. Happy almost Christy birthday, January 4th. Mark your calendars, International Christy Appreciation Day.
Yes, it's a national holiday. That's my goal, my resolution this year is to get it finally recognized as a national holiday. So it can go on calendars.
That's what we're going to – it's pre-printed already on every calendar. You get it at the old Office Depot, Office Max. Well, it is the first week of this new year, and we are still on a bit of a holiday hiatus. But we wanted to bring an episode, a new-to-most-of-you episode out there that is a case that it stuck with us since we covered it as a Patreon minisode back in early 2021. And just – I think of it once every few months at least, if not – yeah. Every time I go to a fast food restaurant, it's in the back of my mind.
Definitely. I think about this case quite a bit. There is a new Netflix series that Don't Pick Up the Phone that covers this case. It's come out in the past year as well. This case is bananas. It's one that as you're listening to it, you'll think, how on earth could anybody fall for this? How could this possibly happen? But we go into some psychology explanations as well as just the influence of someone that you perceive to be in control and power, a police officer, and what that can translate to, even if they're not there. Just the idea of getting in trouble or an authority figure telling you to do something and how much power that can wield.
Yeah, and what happens when you just submit to that? And the facts around it, you'll hear it. It's not an isolated incident. And we also get into both the civil litigation that came out of it as well as a criminal trial. So this is one of, like I said, one of those cases that we covered it as a minisode, and it, even though it's supposed to be mini, it's much, I mean, it's episode length, but it just gets me. It just gets me. It almost seems so preventable. But as you all hear, you'll see how easy some of us could fall for something like this. And at least back in the 1990s when it happened. And we'll get back with you all next week with a brand new episode.
I'm going to kill you.
I have, I think I said in one of our last episodes, I've never been more appalled with my jaw on the floor since Abducted in Plain Sight.
Yeah.
Which, if y'all haven't seen that documentary, stop what you're doing right. Stop this. Pause this. Go watch that. Come back. Because it is why it's bonkers.
It's quite a ride.
I had similar feelings while researching this.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one that when I heard about it, in about a 10-second clip about something, I don't know, I was watching a show about something else, and it was like a throwaway line of like, yeah, you know, the strip search scams that happen at all those McDonald's. And I thought, what the hell, huh? So I looked it up and I texted you and said, I have an idea for a minisode. Because it was gripping for me to just read a summary of what happened. Mm-hmm. And then we start digging into the evidence. But to clarify briefly, when I was initially reading about it, I thought this happened in like the 70s.
No.
And then I was like, oh my God, this was our time. Like, this was recent. I was the same age as the victim, yeah. Almost. Somehow that made it more scary to me that you think, oh, those fools back in the 60s and 70s, they had no idea. The silly, silly fools. But no, this was like recent. Mm-hmm. This was within a stone's throw of where we are today. So somehow that made it to me scarier that, oh, this isn't a relic of the past that people are crank calling folks.
Yeah.
This is something that still happens to this day.
I do remember when the footage got leaked after this happened. So I remember seeing, but I never really looked into what the story really was or the details. So it's harrowing.
Yeah, it's a sick to your stomach wild ride. Yeah. So, well, welcome to the minisode, guys.
Which is actually fairly long. We talked about doing this as a full episode, but we wanted you guys to have the secret stuff.
The secret sauce. Mm-hmm. Wait, is McDonald's a secret?
Oh, God. That's
isn't that what to all be patties? Special sauce.
They were special sauce, yeah.
Because that's the Big Mac.
Do you remember when, oh man, I guess it was the 80s, so you might not, when you would get the newspaper delivered and there would be a CD from McDonald's ran this contest type of thing. I don't even know if it was a contest. I think it may have been, but they had that whole rap or that whole song that was like two all beef patties.
Beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
There was some kind of contest they did where they put a CD with that in the newspaper. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, let me know. This is a very Berenstain moment I'm having right here, but I'm fairly confident there was something like this. But
have you ever seen the McDonald's commercial with Jason Alexander?
I don't know if I have.
It was before he was famous on Seinfeld, and there was a special hamburger. Tell me how this makes sense. Rather than serving you a hamburger totally made, they were going to give you the hot components on one package and the cold lettuce and tomato on the separate side, and then you could put it together, and that way your lettuce and tomato wouldn't get mushy.
Oh, that's Tommy Brown's alley right there.
I like hot, wet lettuce. Oh, is that just me?
I don't know if it's just you, but Tommy has so many rules about stuff with food.
I remember you talking about his ice cream rules. Dude, that you have to get the ice cream last at the grocery store.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. But the lettuce on hot stuff is another thing too with him.
So, well, I'm sorry for him that they took away this menu item, but Jason Alexander, because he's a profesh singer, dancer, Broadway kind of guy. So he's like singing and dancing about it.
Does sound vaguely familiar.
It's one of those where it's like, before they were famous, and they play it on, whatever, Access Hollywood, stuff like that. So, but yeah, there's something to be said about separating your lettuce from your buns. But I like it. I like the hot, wet lettuce.
I think Tommy doesn't get lettuce specifically because of that.
He foregoes the lettuce.
He does. I think I'm right about that. But see, I like it Whataburger, where it's like the diced up lettuce.
Oh yeah, shredded kind of.
And it's hot with the, oh, the delicious hot mayonnaise.
I love hot Whataburger.
God
damn,
Whataburger's so good.
Get out of here.
Oh, my
get
God, out of here. Whataburger.
Your car smells like onions for decades. The scent never gets out.
I get no onions.
Oh, I love the diced onions.
The diced onions are really good. I just get no onions because I can't not taste onions for days after I eat them. Days.
It's overwhelming.
Yes,
overwhelming.
It is. I'll eat cooked onions, but raw onions, whew. That does it to me. Yeah. Well, man, my mouth is literally watering right now. I'm going to swallow all this down.
Now we're food horny. We get ourselves riled up about food, especially Whataburger. But that Whataburger was not one of the ones hit in this spree.
No, they weren't. They weren't. Probably because Whataburger is mostly Texas. There is some in other places, but mostly. And this did not, from what I read, occur in Texas. Yes. Well, let's get into it. Between 1995 and 2005, fast food restaurants across the country were plagued by phony phone calls that had employees committing bizarre acts. According to the Louisville Courier-Journal, the first of such incidents occurred in 1995 in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Call after call was made, asking employees to strip down, spank others, or do tasks while naked. But why wouldn't these employees just simply hang up? Simple. Every single caller had claimed to be the police investigating customers or coworkers for committing a crime. So right out the gate.
Right out the first one.
If, and man, and we'll, we, an actual quote from someone involved says this of, well, you wouldn't know what you would do until you were in that situation. And I do think that is true of most things. I would like to think if I was working any job and I got a phone call from someone, police or not, telling me you need to take off all your clothes and you need to let your coworker spank you because this is how we're going to catch them for a crime, that I would immediately say, what the fuck, and hang up the phone.
I think unless it is part of the job description, I am not going to whip my tits out at any job that I work at all, unless it's, that, you know.
Unless if, that's like what I said, you're there to do.
Exactly. If I'm working at the gentleman's club, go then for that's it. Fine. But not if, no. I'm trying to think, because, you know, I've never worked fast food, but I worked as like a secretary, receptionist, assistant in a mortgage company. I worked in a costume restaurant where I had a dress and costume. And I answered the phone in the costume restaurant. And I can't imagine them saying, take off your ruby red slippers and your Dorothy dress. You know, it's like when I was 18, 19, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just strange. Of course, that place was lawless. We did whatever we wanted there. So it's not like I was like a real, you know, I wasn't very obedient at that job. I came dressed as Abraham Lincoln. But it's, you know, I'm sure you go through all the jobs you've had and not a one would you have whipped your tits out.
My first job ever was at a casual dining, fast dining type of sandwich place in Fort Worth called,
do you know, is it
Galligaskins?
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were willing to say it.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's around anymore. Their sandwiches were great. The job sucked, but I was also 17. Who wants to work anywhere when you're 17? Even though I worked with one of my best friends at the time, still hated it. But yeah, I don't. And that's not to shame anyone that did this because
no, no.
We will see close to 70 people fell for this. So clearly, that's what's so shocking about this is, but again, what wasn't reported is how many people hung up or said, get out of here. I'm not doing that. You know, we only hear about the ones that did do it.
Yes.
But that's still a staggering number that agreed to these things that just a faceless voice was telling them to do.
And he seemed to target the more rural areas where maybe people didn't have as much interaction with police from other areas. So, you know, if you're saying I'm from another city and I'm the police, you know, if you never had an interaction, you wouldn't know.
And you're
so
probably more trusting. Someone, you know, in rural North Dakota is probably more trusting than someone from Manhattan McDonald's where, you know, you're in the big city and you see shit all the time.
That's true. Side note, I went down a rabbit hole the other day on McDonald's ice cream machines and a couple who hacked, it's this brand called Taylor Ice Cream Machines, and under your McDonald's franchise agreement, you have to use this ice cream machine. And I believe the setup is that when you have to call for service, McDonald's get a percentage of the service fee that you have to pay the Taylor ice cream machine specialist to come out and fix it. So it's kind of in their best interest for them to, for you to keep using this machine, and you will lose your franchise if you use a different machine. And they break all the time because they're super finicky, and they have this secret panel where you have to know the special code to know what's wrong with the ice cream machine to like troubleshoot and fix it yourself, but it's hidden. So this couple created this invention that was the size of a deck of cards that they figured out how to install into these Taylor ice cream machines that would then pull up a phone app that would tell a McDonald's franchise owner, this is what's wrong with your ice cream machine and this is how you can fix it. Well, McDonald's caught wind of that and told all the franchise people, if you do this to your ice cream machine, we will take your franchise away. And this causes like death and destruction to the ice cream machine and basically threaten them. But they actually showed all the components of the ice cream machine that has to get washed and cleaned and put back together. And that's why at any given time, something like 25% of all McDonald's ice cream machines are non-functional because of this really finicky ice cream machine that has two barrels in it that allows it to make soft serve ice cream and milkshakes at the same time simultaneously.
Wow.
Can't you see why I went down this rabbit hole? It was like the couple who hacked why McDonald's ice cream machines are always broken. I was like, the times I went to order a fucking Shamrock Shake only to be rejected and told that they don't work. But there's now a website. I'll find the link and we'll put it on Patreon. But there's a website that you can go to that automatically makes an ice cream order at every McDonald's, like every 15 minutes, and then reports back how many ice cream machines are broken.
Wow. Well, it seems like McDonald's is getting a little under the table deal here and has a reason to keep these machines not working.
It's in their best interest because I think I'll have to find that Wired article, but I think they get like a cut of it. But yeah, it ruined these people's lives because they were going to help McDonald's franchise owners figure out how to fix their machines on their own, and McDonald's sued the shit out of them.
Yeah, because they want the people to go out there and service it so they get a cut of it.
McDonald's don't fucking play. If you haven't seen The Founder, check it out.
Is that the one, the HBO series?
Oh, no, that's the one, the lottery scam. The Founder is with Michael Keaton about Ray Kroc, who swoops in and he makes McDonald's what it is today, but at what cost?
Oh, wow.
It's excellent. I did not think I would be riveted in a movie about
watch it.
Fast food franchises and also Michael Keaton.
I love Michael Keaton, so I'll watch anything with him. Yes.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
L-E-D-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Well, in 2000, a McDonald's worker in Lakefield, Kentucky, was convinced to remove her own clothes in front of a customer because the caller told her the customer was a sex offender, according to the Courier-Journal. All she had to do was undress herself to act as bait, then the police would arrest the suspect. Of course, police never arrived.
They also skewed younger, the victims, and they wouldn't want to talk to the managers. Usually they would want to talk to front desk, you know, not front desk, cashier workers, because they knew they were more likely to be obedient, because you're trained in fast food to say, yes, the customer's always right. Yes, sir, no, sir. Listen to your manager.
Imagine being the customer and what, she just starts taking off her clothes in front of you?
And kind of probably, if he's supposedly a sex offender that's supposed to attack her and then the police will swoop in, I'm assuming she's like, oh, I've dropped my hat.
That's wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then in 2002, in Roosevelt, Iowa, a girl who was spending her 18th birthday working her first shift at a McDonald's, stripped naked, ran through the store, and according to the Courier-Journal, assumed a series of embarrassing poses, all because she was told to by a caller pretending to be police. Again, when you have someone that you think is the cops, and if you've had bad experiences with the cops, I'm sure that plays into it as well. Telling you gotta take off your clothes, run through this restaurant, and then bend over. What
kind jumping jacks?
Yes, all these things.
Yeah.
And then you do it.
And you on the other end of the phone, that is a very skilled con man.
Yes.
To get that. Like, I had a client today tell me I'm so stupid that I fell for the scam. And I said, this is a professional mm-hmm. scammer. This is not a one-off person who does it for a hobby. I mean, this man did this for years. Yes. And like you said, we were only hearing about the really, really egregious ones. How many people kind of went with it for a minute
yeah.
and then he said the wrong thing and they bailed? So every single call that fails, he's learning. He's getting mm-hmm. better. And to where it culminates.
Mm-hmm. Burger King, Applebee's, Sonic, Hardee's, Taco Bell, McDonald's. The callers hit major chain restaurants, but seemed to hit McDonald's the most. By 2003, there were nearly 60 reports of callers tricking fast food employees to do embarrassing and sometimes illegal things through these scams, with 39 occurring at McDonald's. The most egregious incident of all happened in 2004. Louise Ogborn worked as a cashier at a McDonald's fast food restaurant in Mount Washington, Kentucky, near Louisville. She was a former Girl Scout, actively involved in her church, and had recently graduated high school in the top 10 of her class. April 9th, 2004, promised to be just another shift for the 18-year-old, who made $6.35 per hour, and took the job to help pay for ongoing medical expenses for her ailing mother. She was done for the day, but volunteered to stay and work the dinner shift to make some extra cash. That's when she was called into the office of assistant manager Donna Summers.
I'll tell you what, every time we cover a case, there's a moment. It's like the moment, the missing 411 guy said, the moment of separation. It's like there's a moment where someone does something totally innocuous, totally not, it's not to fault them. It's just to look and go, oh my God, what if she said, you know what? I'm tired. I'm actually going to go home tonight.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Do not pick up shifts that aren't yours. It never, it never ends well. You always hear, well, they were working a shift at the 7-Eleven they weren't scheduled for, and they robber came in and shot him and robbed the place. I mean, it's always yeah. they weren't scheduled to work, but they were picking up a shift.
Mm-hmm. They're not even supposed to be here today.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Poor at 18 years old. Also, let's just go ahead and get it out of the way that the assistant manager is named Donna Summers.
God,
it is
help
not
her.
The disco queen. This is just a McDonald's manager.
Donna Summers would never do that. Isn't that Donna Summer singular?
Donna is it Donna Summer? Is I think disco
the disco queen okay. is singular Summer. This is plural Summers. But yeah, you can't fault her for picking up a shift because her mom was sick.
No, I'm not.
And she
at
needed
all.
No. I'm not saying you were, but I'm saying, you know, it's again, it's nothing she did that was her fault. It's just eerie mm-hmm. to go back and look at the moment of the two paths that diverge yep. and you naturally choose one, and that just so happens to change the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. According to ABC News, Donna told Louise she was on the phone with a police officer named Officer Scott, and that the officer had the store manager, Lisa Siddons, on the other line. Donna then said into the phone,
"Here she is, it's the girl you described,"
and told Louise to shut the door. Donna told Louise she was being accused of stealing a purse from a customer. According to ABC, Louise pled with Donna, saying,
"Donna, I've never done anything wrong. I could never steal. I could never do anything like that. I don't have it in me."
Donna and the caller remained unpersuaded, telling Louise she could either submit to a strip search or be taken to the police station. Louise was then stripped naked and given only an apron to cover up. As the dinner rush picked up, Donna told the caller that she had to attend to the restaurant business. He insisted she call someone in to replace her. She chose a fry cook, 27-year-old Jason Bradley. When Jason got on the phone, he was told to have Louise drop the apron and describe the girl's body to the caller. According to Louise, Jason
wouldn't have any part of it
and left the office disgusted. Donna got back on the phone, and Jason heard her laughing with the caller, saying she was not married but planned to be soon. The caller told her to have her fiancé come up and watch Louise.
She's getting pretty loose, joking around with the police on the phone.
I have a lot of opinions about Donna Summers. And this is where we start to get into, where I personally start to think, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, yeah. There's a moment at which I think several people diverge from victims to complicit.
Or just
idiots. I mean, who?
Yeah, it's
who,
pretty dumb.
You as a woman, because there's another female manager that's in there too with them, that's kind of just standing back, like observing the whole thing. Two female managers and a naked 18-year-old employee who's also female are there. You need to go get someone else. So you go get a 27-year-old guy to come in and be in this small little office. I mean, anybody can Google, and it's in even the show notes, the footage. This is all caught on the security camera in the freaking office, start to finish. See, they're in an office no bigger than a closet.
Yeah.
And this poor girl is just sitting there covered up with an apron.
Yeah.
And they're this 27-year-old who Donna, what?
Whoomst amongst us, which is, I do have a trouble because I, you know, on the one hand, you want to go, well, what else was at play here? You know me, I'm always like, it's a gray area. Maybe she wasn't very educated, or she'd have, every person on the fucking planet has seen at least one police procedural. And at no point is this ever protocol.
No, who, good God.
You've seen seconds of Law and Order, and it could tell you.
Have you watched any CSI?
Yeah, no. This was 2005 or 2004. There was plenty on television by then. 21 Jump Street. I don't care what you watched. You watched something, and at no point were they making a naked lady do jumping jacks.
No, at no point do they say, which is what Officer Scott told her, we are really backed up. We're shorthanded on officers, so we need you to do this until one of us can get there. That does not happen. The cops do not put the...
citizen deputy.
Yes, they don't assign you to be to this power over someone else like that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I too wonder, she's the assistant manager. She's laughing and cutting up with the cop. You wonder if somebody in their life has maybe not risen to the level that they wanted to and now feels special, right? They feel like they're a deputy helping the cop. So in some way, it satisfies an unanswered need to be in charge, need to be... an authority figure. And so that could also, I mean, I don't think there's no excuse for her behavior whatsoever, but I think perhaps it maybe colors in some of the, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think there's something to be said for that I'm the one that is in charge here. I'm the highest person here. So they're calling me. So I got to do this.
Here.
You got to feel, you feel important. You feel needed at that moment. Yeah.
Like you said, we're out of officers. We need you, citizen. Yeah.
Around 6 p.m., Donna called her fiancé, 43-year-old Walter Wes Nix Jr. Walter was a father of two and professional exterminator who was active in his church with no criminal record. Donna told Walter she
had a situation
and needed him to head up to McDonald's to help. Walter arrived about 15 minutes later, entered the back office, and took the phone from Donna. Here is another moment where you go, what the fuck, Donna?
Babe, what have you called me into?
Dude, who decides? You've already got an out of control situation going on in your office. We're going to bring our fiance into it?
Yeah. Yeah.
A 43-year-old, you want your 43-year-old, first of all, what woman?
I don't want my man around naked lady.
Their fiance walking in and having to babysit an 18-year-old naked girl.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's very weird.
I usually, you know, this, like you said, it is a abducted in plain sight level of, I got nothing. Normally, I feel like I try to rationalize things. He's an adult. He's a business owner, or at least a professional something. He handles chemicals for a living, for Christ's sake, if he's an exterminator, active in his church, hasn't done a crime that we know of. I mean, he's got no criminal record. So
what sane person that you described would walk into this scene and do what's about to happen instead of going, honey,
put your clothes on.
The person on the phone is not a police officer. Hang up. We're calling the real cops.
Yeah, there's a 0% chance this is legitimate. Again, we see for all the they're human beings. For all the people in this story, the paths diverge.
Yes.
And he chooses the wrong one.
He sure does. Donna left the office, and Walter subjected Louise to torture for the next 2 hours, all at the commands of the man on the line calling himself Officer Scott. First, He had her drop the apron and stand naked. Then he had her perform jumping jacks in an effort to
shake something loose
for the collar. Walter spanked Louise, had her sit on his lap and kiss him to
see if he smelled any drugs,
and put her fingers into her vagina and show him the inside as part of the search. Finally, he had her get on her knees and perform oral sex on him.
It obviously escalated over the 2 hours.
Quickly.
Okay. Taking them in turn. The jumping jacks to shake something loose. That is stupid, but it is at least somewhat rational, right?
Do you think she shoved someone's purse up her butthole?
I don't know. A heroin balloon. I think it was like she had a heroin balloon up her ass or her vagina. So again, not logical, but it's rational, right? He says, I need her to jump up and down to see if you can get the drugs out. Stupid, but okay. Spanking, I don't know, unless, like you said,
you're spanking it to get it out, to get the drugs out or something.
Again, sit on her lap and kiss him to smell any drugs. That's the stupidest shit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Putting the finger in the vagina to show the inside. Again, rationalized at I scoured.
Yes.
The internet, newspapers, archives. I felt like I was in a library going through a microfiche machine. I read every shred I could on this case, and I could not find what Officer Scott said.
Yes, me either.
To rationalize him putting his penis into her mouth. Same. I couldn't, and I, in my brain, mm-hmm. it's rattling, it's been, I've did this research in December, like not just been a minute, right? We've been not December and like weeks ago.
Yeah.
As we were getting, you know, we like to do things in advance. Ever since I've read about it, I can't stop. What
do you have have you thought of anything?
It keeps me up at night. I cannot think of what.
Here's what I think.
Walter liked what he was doing.
I don't think the caller presented it that way.
Oh,
I think the caller started, he groomed Walter, essentially. He's mm-hmm. tested the waters. First of all, the caller knows when Walter walks in and doesn't completely balk at this situation, that he's somewhat interested in what's going on. And then this 43-year-old man is having an 18-year-old girl completely naked do jumping jacks. Touching her all over her body, seeing parts of her body that no one should see, that she does not want to see,
mm-hmm.
kissing her. He's ramping it up. I think the caller may have just suggested, could kind of tell he was into it and kind of just said, why don't you take off your pants and see if she'll do this?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's,
I don't know,
conjecture.
I also can't fathom what reasoning you would give as a police officer. If you really think this is a police officer, what would a policeman say that says, well, in order to prove that she stole this purse, we're going to have her give you a blowjob now?
What, we need you to probe her mouth.
What logic is that? Yeah.
With your penis.
Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. I don't. Yeah. We can't know. I mean, we see Walter is not totally ignorant of what has happened here, granted. But again, I couldn't think. But that makes sense, though, as if.
I don't know. That's just speculate, because I also can't think of anything.
That's Christy's. It's our opinion, and we're not presenting it as facts.
Louise never said anything in the later trial either that
Mm-mm.
I can find.
Mm-mm.
But Walter is a sack of shit. I feel no empathy for anybody in this case except for Louise.
Correct.
When you walk in and see this, at first, maybe you're like, this doesn't seem right, but okay. But as soon as it starts getting sexual,
yeah,
you're there. You know what you're doing. You know, yeah. And then when your penis is in her mouth.
As I'm sure she's weeping.
Oh, yes, she said she was crying the whole time, pleading with them to let her go, saying, begging to be taken to the police station. She's like, yeah. Please, I will go to the police station. Please take me there.
Yeah.
And Donna would say, no, we have to wait for the police to show up.
Call 911. How about that? Good God. Yeah, that's the worst part, is I think it's not that it is bad that it happened, but I think it's even worse that her unceasing cries for help were ignored by multiple people.
Yeah. Yes. And even kudos to Jason Bradley, the fry cook, for not taking part of it. Why didn't you, when you saw what was going on, go call the cops, buddy?
And be like, this is weird.
Yeah.
There's some weird shit going on. Or call the manager, even.
You knew it was fucked up. You knew you didn't want a part of it. So therefore, you need to call the police or it shouldn't be going on. You just went about making fries.
Yeah. Man.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com, featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Throughout the two-hour ordeal, Donna would enter the office, but each time, Walter had Louise cover herself up with an apron. Louise pleaded with Donna to let her go, but each time Donna said no, they had to wait for the police to arrive. After 2 hours, the caller told Walter he could leave, only if Donna found a replacement. Walter left, and when he arrived home, he called a friend stating,
I've done something terribly wrong.
So he knew. He
ding,
knew,
ding, ding.
He knew he had just done a fucked up. Also, if your fiance walks in the room, and every time you throw an apron to this naked girl and tell her to cover up, you know you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, if that's where, again, you as the listener slash, you know, in the hindsight, armchair quarterback slash prosecutor, you knowingly sexually assaulted this girl because you hid her body and hid what you were doing. If you said, the whole time I believed I was complying with police orders, then you would be sodomizing that girl openly when your fiance opened the door and said, what, honey? I'm helping the police. But the fact that he knew to hide it, fuck this guy.
Yeah. Yep.
In his behavior. And again, he was charged with a crime. I'm not accusing him of anything he was not convicted of or pled to. But that behavior tells us that he was aware of the wrongdoing, and it was not simply, well, I was just following orders.
Yes. And he then makes a phone call to a friend saying, I've done something terribly wrong.
Yeah, that's the best part that seals the deal.
At the store, Donna tried recruiting 58-year-old Thomas Sims, an off-duty handyman who did odd jobs around the restaurant. When Thomas walked back into the office and saw Louise, he was horrified. Donna assured him it was okay and that
corporate had approved it.
When Thomas took the phone, the caller asked him to have Louise drop the apron and describe her body. Thomas refused and told Donna,
something is not right about this. Thank God for this guy.
Yes.
He was off duty. He went to get an ice cream. Thankfully, the ice cream machine was working and he was able to get his treat. And he's just chilling in a booth having his ice cream. And she's like, I need your help with something. Would you come back here? And he's like, fuck this noise.
Yes. Finally, someone with a shred of decency walks into that freaking office.
Got a couple of brain cells to rub together. Yeah, it's no. He's like, and again, some people want to say,
arguments online abound of that, well, Donna, maybe she was not experienced in the world or she didn't have the privilege of education. I believe one of the articles said Thomas Sims had dropped out of school. So I think it's a moral compass situation. You know, I don't think you can blame somebody's like naivete or lack of, first of all, she's your grown up. But this, you know, it's not like, oh, well, you have to be Harvard educated to know not to do this. This gentleman, you know, had to finish off his ice cream sundae and go, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Yeah. You don't have to go to school to know that you don't strip down one of your employees butt ass naked in your office while you ask multiple men to come in and watch her while she's just in there by herself.
Yeah. And I think later the argument that, well, McDonald's didn't train me not to do this, just for me, that dog don't hunt. Like,
no.
Really? You needed to be trained not to sexually
abuse? Do you need to be trained not to stick your hand in an open flame? I mean, some things you just know not to do.
You think you should.
Dipshit.
People end up in the ER, so.
In a deposition, Donna said that this is when the light bulb went off for her. She called Lisa, the general manager, who the caller said had been on the other line, only to find Lisa was sound asleep at home. In the deposition, Donna said,
I knew then that I had been had. I lost it. I begged Louise for forgiveness. I was almost hysterical.
Another assistant manager, Kim Dockery, then came in the room, covered Louise, and comforted her as she cried. The caller hung up, but employees dialed star 69 to obtain the phone number.
Man, remember back in the day you had to dial star 69?
Oh, fuck yeah. This is when the light bulb went off, Donna. When Thomas said something isn't right about this, you know who else said that? Jason Bradley. Two hours ago, before she was sodomized by your fiance.
Hours before she was tortured. Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Why would you not have called Lisa the second he said, I've got your general manager on the other line?
Just
okay,
say,
cool. Let me put you on hold. Yeah. Let me talk to her real quick.
Patch her through. And if he said no, call her yourself. This lady is, hello? Donna? What?
She's like, what?
The fucking worst call that you can get. I mean, one of the worst calls.
Complete confusion. The last thing chaos. You would think anyone would call you about. That night, Donna watched the surveillance footage and saw what Walter had done to Louise. She ended their engagement and then was later fired for letting a non-employee into the back office.
That's why she was fired.
Yeah, that's why she was fired.
Goddamn.
Donna was arrested for unlawful imprisonment and pled no contest. She was given 1 year of probation after Louise told prosecutors that she believed Donna was also a victim. Walter was arrested and charged with sodomy, for which he was eligible to receive 20 years in prison. He struck a deal with prosecutors and pled guilty to sexual abuse in the first degree. He received 5 years in exchange for his testimony against the caller and must register as a sex offender for the rest of his life. Yeah, Louise initially said she believed Donna was a victim. She also ended up suing her later.
Yes, she did.
So
she did indeed.
As she should have.
Yes.
It was a very sweet and 18-year-old naive thing to say she was also a victim. And perhaps she was. I don't know. Like I said, I got a lot of hot takes about Donna Summers, and not one of them is that she was a victim.
Yeah. So. And you wonder, too, if Louise had worked there for a while. It's your, you know, if you like your manager and they're, you know, they've been good to you as a authority figure, you want to kind of cut them a break. But then the more distance you get from it, you think, oh, fuck this lady.
Yeah.
She's part of this.
I definitely.
She's the one that called the sex predator to attack me. Now, registered sex predator. I'm not calling him anything he's not.
I think that's key, is the distance. And
yeah.
When it's still so raw and you went through this thing with someone and, you know, the emotions are still so high, it's easy to have maybe a little more compassion. And once you get a bit of distance from it and you're like, oh no, she was very culpable in what happened to me.
Yeah, I think at first you're like, can you believe that happened? Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I can't believe it either. And then later on you're like, that was a lot of hours and a lot of times of me crying and begging for help and a lot of no's. Nah, fuck her.
Yeah. Fuck her is right. Police tracked down that the calling card used to make the Mount Washington call and a call to a McDonald's in Massachusetts had been purchased at a Walmart in Panama City, Florida. Surveillance footage from Walmart at the time of the purchase showed a man in a jacket bearing the logo of private security firm Corrections Corporation of America. CCA's HR department was able to identify David R. Stewart, a married father of five, from the surveillance footage.
Yeah, it was, it's not a slam dunk, but it's that's as close as you're going to get to a slam dunk in a calling card situation.
A search of Stewart's house turned up police uniforms and applications. Stewart was charged with soliciting sodomy and impersonating a police officer. Authorities also found a calling card in Stewart's Florida home that was used to make 9 similar calls to Burger King and Wendy's restaurants in Oklahoma and Idaho, but the card was not used in the Mount Washington incident. The purchase card traced to the Mount Washington call was never found. After a week-long trial, Stewart was acquitted due to lack of direct evidence. Police noted that no further calls were made after his arrest.
Goddamn.
This jury. I mean,
it's all circumstantial.
It is, but is it?
Is it? But is it?
It isn't. And
I will say, I need to, I mean, not that I'm going to do future research on this, but again, in what I read, I didn't get a thorough description of the evidence. If some of this was excluded, then you can't blame the jurors, right? If they only knew that
didn't know that the calling cards were found in their home, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if 9 cards or cards used to make 9 other calls that they knew were the same type of call were found.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you don't have the smoking gun that the exact card is found, but people have been convicted for murder on less evidence.
Yeah, he's got a really good defense attorney. He's also a white male. I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it. But he also, I think your question is it beyond a reasonable doubt? And like, it's like, no, they didn't have a recording of his voice that they could have compared they didn't have like a recording of Officer Scott that they could compare to David Stewart. So that was a big hurdle. Can you really trust the memory of Walter or Donna when it's however far removed from the incident? So.
Oh, man. Well, they said that the impression that they got, and David Stewart had applied to be a cop numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
And was not accepted. So I think for him, he got his rocks off by just acting as an authority figure. Kind of like what you said about maybe this is why Donna agreed to it, because she had never lived up to being the authority figure she always desired. He was, in these instances, being the cop he wanted to be. He was in charge. He was controlling everything. He was, you know, they even said, some people that testified said, well, I totally believed he was a cop. I even heard police sounds in the background. Like
a keyboard, like
walkie-talkies and stuff going off. Yeah, so he like made it sound. Yes, when the summer he found his sound. Yeah, so I think
whoever was on the other end of that line, yeah.
He got off on that just knowing, because he wasn't watching it happen. He was just hearing it all unfold.
Yeah. And to be fair, the evidence that was found in his house wasn't that he made all 60 calls, was just that he at least made, somebody in his house was using a calling card. I don't know if it was him, his wife, or his 5 children, to make 9 similar calls to Burger King's and Wendy's and whatnot in other states. So somebody was using those calling cards in his house to do that. Mm-hmm. Somebody.
While the obscene calls may have stopped after David Stewart's trial, the mental and emotional damages they caused did not. According to court documents, the psychological impact the assault made on Louise Ogborn caused significant physical and behavioral changes, resulting in her needing extensive counseling. She also stated that McDonald's did nothing to help her after the incident. Louise and Donna Summers both sued McDonald's for the incident. Louise's attorney asked for $61 million, then later $200 million in damages. She was awarded a total of $5,555,656. It broke down as follows. Compensatory damages. $1 million for physical, mental, and emotional pain and suffering. $111,312 for past and future medical expenses. McDonald's was found half at fault and so reliable for $555,656 in compensatory damages. Punitive damages were $5
million. So McDonald's was punished by having to pay $5 million, and they were only found to be 50% liable. The caller was the other 50% liable. So they calculated that she was owed $1 million for pain and suffering and $100,000. So then McDonald's only had to pay half of that.
Yeah.
So it's wild that, you know, they said that the caller was half at fault and McDonald's was half at fault. I don't understand why, except for that I believe they said he lived in a trailer that was worth maybe like $30,000, that maybe he didn't have assets. But the standard of proof is so much lower in a civil case. Why wouldn't you just sue him for, you know, emotional distress, pain and suffering, just even if he can never pay it? So you tell yourself, okay, I have proof that this guy was the one that did this to me, and I have justice, even though he was acquitted.
Yeah.
I don't know. Unless, I mean, he don't have $5 million.
So many times people aren't guilty in their criminal trials, found guilty, and then have to pay in their civil trials.
Mm-hmm. OJ style.
Yeah. I mean, the case I served on was civil, and the defendant did not end up paying one dime because she didn't have anything, but she was supposed to pay over $60 million.
Yeah. But I mean, in the family in your case, at least has the emotional closure of saying a jury believed us, we were, you know, prevailed. So I wonder why, but I don't know. She just may have wanted to be done with it.
Yeah. And in the case of mine too, it also gets out that this person was operating without insurance at the daycare, and she's never going to have a daycare again.
Yeah, no access to kids.
Not be able to do that to a child again. Yeah.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Donna Summers argued that she was injured because McDonald's knew about the strip search hoaxes and failed to warn her as a manager to avoid the scam. Summers was awarded a total of $1,050,000. $1 million was in punitive damages, and $100,000 was compensatory for emotional distress, embarrassment, and damage to character, for which McDonald's was half responsible. I mean,
she has $1 million.
She does. Here's the thing. McDonald's did know about this.
So much. They knew very much that this was very frequent and did not say, hey, if the cops call you, just hang up and call 911.
Yeah. So they are completely liable in this and should have trained the managers, as silly as it may sound, that someone has to be told. But when 39 of their restaurants had this happening, at what point do you say, maybe we should do a training?
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably that's after one. Would be my guess.
Even if 39 incidents occurred and only 5 told them about it, like you said, even if one, they should have done a training. Because maybe they didn't know about all of them until later. But yeah, from a corporate liability perspective, that's the purpose of policies and procedures, is literally to prevent this from happening. Granted, they did have a policy that don't let randos in the back office, and she did.
And that's why she was fired.
Correct. So, gosh. Yeah.
And $1 million to McDonald's is chump change.
Oh, yeah.
This to Donna Summers, I'm sure it's more money than she had ever seen in her life. But more than that, this poor girl was violated mm-hmm. in the worst ways you can be.
Mm-hmm.
She's 18.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, to be that young and that's your name is everywhere now. Everyone knows what happened.
Oh, yeah.
Not to mention you were sexually assaulted. You have to live with this and like just
on camera. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And the fact that they didn't help her afterwards.
Yeah. And that she was crying the whole time asking for help.
I mean, even McDonald's. Oh, once yeah, they no, found they out about thought. It.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, from a lawyer perspective, you would be like, don't apologize because you don't want to get sued for $6 million. And then it happens anyway.
Yeah. Also, it's pretty wild that they went for $200 million and she only got $6 million.
I think this is the post-McDonald's hot coffee world where people, which that is one of the most widely misunderstood cases, where the cultural zeitgeist is we got a bunch of Sue happy people. Mm-hmm. It's not McDonald's fault that she got violated in the back office. Well, it kind of is, though, like at least 50%, yeah. Right? And so a jury may balk at $200 million and only award that much because, again, it's, well, that just seems like a crazy amount of money. People are just trying to do get-rich-quick schemes, just like that McDonald's coffee lady. Well, her vagina got burned off, so you tell me what your vagina is worth.
Yeah, priceless. In the aftermath of the horrendous ordeal, many were left wondering how on earth something like this could have happened. How could someone blindly obey orders from a faceless voice on the other end of the phone that resulted in a high school student being held naked against her will for hours and sexually assaulted? While it is easy for many to balk at the notion that they would never be so gullible, Summers told the New York Times,
unless you were put in that situation at that time, how do you know what you would do? You don't.
Arguably, the most well-known example of humans' willingness to obey comes from Yale professor Stanley Milgram's experiment in the early 1960s. Milgram devised his study after reading about the reasons those on trial at the World War II Nuremberg trials gave for participating in acts of genocide. Milgram longed to understand what would make a seemingly normal person agree to take part in such atrocities. He noticed that time and again, the reasons given had to do with obedience. The German Nazis' justification was that they were following orders from their superiors, according to Simply Psychology. Those that signed up to participate in the Milgram study were paired with another person. They drew straws to determine who would be the learner and who would be the teacher. While the participants thought the assigned roles were random, the experiment was actually fixed so that the teacher was always the person who volunteered for the study, and the learner was actually someone working with Milgram. The learner and teacher were placed on opposite sides of a wall. The learner was strapped to a chair with electrodes, while in front of the teacher was an electric shock generator with switches ranging from 15 volts to 450 volts. After studying a series of word pairs, the learner was told to repeat them back. For every wrong answer, the teacher was to administer an electric shock. If the teacher refused, the experimenter in the room with them, an actor hired by Milgram dressed in a gray lab coat, would read a series of prompts designed to encourage the teacher to proceed with shocking the learner. The prompts started off polite, with,
please continue.
If needed, the experimenter would follow with,
the experiment requires you to continue.
If the teacher still refused, the prompts became more urgent.
It is absolutely essential that you continue.
If the teacher still refused, they were told,
you have no other choice but to continue.
The results of the study showed that 65% of participants, i.e. teachers, administered the highest level of voltage, 450 volts, despite hearing the learner's anguished screams and pleas for help from the next room. In addition, all of the participants continued to 300 volts, according to Simply Psychology. Milgram found that ordinary people are likely to follow directions from a perceived authority figure, even if they may feel it is morally or ethically wrong. The likelihood they will obey increases if the authority figure presents themselves as morally right and or legally based.
Yowza.
Yeah. It's one of the most famous studies. You learn about it day one in psychology classes. It's one of those that several, like 20 variations, I think, were done where they would, at one point, the person acting as the experimenter, who was just an actor in a lab coat, would get a phone call and they would have to leave the room. And so they would be replaced with just a person in plain clothes. And the likelihood then that the person would administer the shock went significantly down because this perceived authority wasn't in there watching them. Or if the person in the lab coat wasn't in the room at all, they would try and administer lower shocks and act like they had done the higher ones and everything. So just this person in a lab coat was enough to make people feel like they had to do what they were being told to do, even though they didn't want to do it. And the person on the other side of the wall, who is also an actor, is, you know, it's actually a recording of him screaming, like, and we, there's clips of it in the show, in the, we'll post on Patreon of audio clips of them screaming, like, stop doing this to me. Mm-hmm. I'm dying. My heart's failing.
And good you
can,
God.
And you can hear the experimenter saying, he got it wrong. You need to do it again. And at one point, one of the men, the teacher says, I'm not going to do this. He's in there yelling about his heart. I'm not going to be responsible for something like this. And, you know, so there were a couple people that said, nah, but for the most part, every single one of them cranked it on up to 400.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Just doing my job.
Milgram went on to theorize that in a social situation, people's behavior falls into one of two categories. According to Simply Psychology, these are, one, the autonomous state, where you decide your own actions and take responsibility for them, and two, the agentic state, where people allow others to direct their actions and then pass off the responsibility of the consequences to the person giving the orders. Milgram also found that two things had to be true for a person to enter the agentic state. The person giving the orders had to be perceived as legitimate, and two, the person being ordered is able to believe the authority figure will accept responsibility for whatever happens.
Man. It's humans.
Yep, yep, totally. The strip search scam demonstrated all facets of Milgram's study. The caller successfully manipulated over 60 people, whose behavior then shifted into agentic state. He told them he was an officer of the law, one of the most authoritative and legitimate professions one can have. And because the individuals assumed an officer of the law would take responsibility for what he were telling them to do, they were more likely to follow through with the unbelievable commands. Ticked all the boxes.
Yeah, I mean, whether he knew that or not, it's just he just sounds like a master manipulator. All of them, because I think it was more than one caller, but master manipulator to know, I'm the cops. It's fine. You can do what I say. I'm an officer. I need your help. Imploring them, making them feel special. It's pretty high level manipulation in psychology.
So you think it was more than one caller?
I think so. Because it was over such a long span of time.
Yeah.
And I think because, not that it's not harmful to strip naked and do jumping jacks, you know, in front of your coworkers, but there was not any, at least not reported, any incidents as severe as what happened to Louise that they weren't. I mean, there were cops that were investigating them that were saying, this call happened, these people stripped down, they were impersonating an officer, this is really serious. So there were cops investigating it, but it wasn't, you know, like the FBI is not involved, like trying to hunt down, you know, who really was behind it. But I wonder too, if people, if they somehow knew each other or connected, I don't know. This seems like the type of thing that people would be, it's kind of similar to what folks do on like 4chan or on that part of the internet of, let's send the SWAT team to somebody's house, or I'm going to do this crazy stunt. Guys, watch me on this world cam where it's, you know, publicly streaming, where it's like doing stunts for the amusement of each other too.
Yeah.
So who knows, maybe they're somehow connected, or I don't know, the internet was around. So could have.
I wonder if it started off as just prank calling, essentially, where you're like, let's see how far we can get somebody to go by doing this. And then either word got out, or it just one or two people escalated it to the point of, well, let's see how far we can really take this.
Yeah.
And it just got super out of control.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Milgram theorized that the agentic shift was actually rooted in evolution. In prehistoric times, if humans were disobedient, they did not survive. Therefore, later generations did not inherit these genes. Coupled with the messages of obedience taught in school and the home, the concept of obedience is instilled in us at a very young age. While it is true that society would collapse without certain parameters of obedience, it is also important to know when to question authority and not follow orders that cause moral strain or harm to others.
What'd you say? You don't need a degree to not stick your hand in the fire?
Yeah.
Certain stuff we just all know.
Yeah. I mean, that in itself is evolution as well.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some interviews with Donna Summers, and she has kind of an attitude, kind of defensive, kind of like she knows that everyone thinks she's an idiot.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's just very like, well, none of y'all would know what you do unless you were there. You know, just very, mm-hmm. Bitter.
Yeah.
When, that's true. Sure. None of us know what we do in any situation unless we're there, I guess. But most of us, I think, wouldn't do what she did.
Yeah, it's a little bit different than, you know, like I said, I have clients all day long that are like, I got scammed by this door-to-door person. And I'm like, don't give people your info. Shut the door in their face. And some guy knocked on my door and was like, hey, let me get your email address and I'll send you a quote for your roof. And I was like, okay, here's my email address. Like, what an idiot. And I just gave it to him. And it was like, I was on a Zoom call. I had stepped away. I was in a hurry. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. And then there's people clomping around on my roof. And Paris comes in and goes, why is there humans on our roof that we don't know? And I said, oh, shit, can you go and undo what I've done? So as much as my profession is telling people not to get scammed, and I looked them up. They're a totally legitimate business. It was a misunderstanding on my part. I didn't realize people needed to climb on your roof to give you a roof estimate, although now it makes sense. But in that moment where you're jarred, somebody in a uniform has asked you for something, and you go, okay, yeah. Like, I was in a hurry. He was also, I mean, I hate to say it, he was a good-looking guy. I mean, and
that plays in. I mean,
he was
it
charming.
For Bundy. That definitely plays into it,
yeah,
a lot.
Thank God, Paris is. I mean, but he's a charming guy. And I was talking to a friend about this over the weekend, and she was saying the same thing that, you know, answer the phone, and someone's like, or answer the door, and someone goes, "Is your husband home?" And she goes, "Oh no, oh fuck!" And you're like, he'll be back soon, though. You know, not that every single, you know, we don't want to live in a world where we're constantly afraid and we don't help people when we need to, but also understanding that it's just human nature and trying to train yourself to count to react. Do I think that 99 out of 100 people would do what Donna Summers did? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
That's a conservative estimate. I think 99.99999% of us would not do this because it's so extreme. And there's something, who knows what was happening. She was busy. She was whatever other mitigating circumstances were going on in her life that would allow her to ignore the sobbing cries for help of a teen girl.
And multiple people saying, This doesn't look right.
Yeah. Yeah. And not, and it finally taking a dude at the end of the night after hours of torture. So there's something that we don't, we'll never know. Like you said, she's probably really, you know, she is really defensive about it. At least she seems that way in interviews. So I think it's true that we don't know how we would act in a scam situation or in a, you know, being approached and asked for something situation. Now, how many of us are like, oh, yeah, that's fine. You know, you just, you acquiesce because it's easier in the moment. Like you said, disobedience is bred out of us as humans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that's an, I said the dog won't hunt. I don't think that's a good excuse for me.
No,
here.
I think, like what you said, because this is so extreme is why 99.9% of people would, red flags would immediately start, bells are dinging, you know, but something that's more minor and innocuous, like somebody saying, oh, give me your email and I'll give you a roof. I mean, that's on the face, probably pretty harmless, you know?
And like I said, they have 5-star Google reviews. So
there you go. This from the beginning is harmful.
Yeah. And also
from the beginning, they're saying she has to take off all her clothes. I mean, within minutes, you're like, that's a huge red flag.
It's 0 to 60 pretty fast. Yes. Also, like a phone. What? Why wouldn't you just hang up? You know, that's the other thing is it's not like there's a human officer in the room with you saying to do all these things. It's the ease of hanging up the phone. Although, again, with the IRS scams where they say, we are going to arrest you because you owe IRS payments. I know a guy who's, like I said, he's a reasonably intelligent guy, got all the way to Western Union before the Western Union person goes, I don't think that's the IRS. So it can, even being on the phone, you have that ass clench of like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. It's happening. They're going to come for me.
And if you're an obedient person that, you know, you're a rule follower, then that might be something you're more susceptible to.
True.
And a lot of people, at the trial, when Louise was cross-examined, they said, why didn't you just leave? You know, why didn't you just walk out of the door? And she said, I was terrified. I didn't know what was on the other side of that door. I was naked. I was embarrassed. I didn't really want to run out into the McDonald's restaurant naked.
During a dinner rush.
Yeah, you know, so she said, I didn't know. She even said, like, I didn't know if that was the last night of my life. I didn't know where this was going. Because it escalated so quickly in such a short amount of time.
She went from picking up an extra shift to being sexually assaulted within several, not even several hours, a handful of hours.
Yes.
Minutes. Yeah. The length of, shorter than a Lord of the Rings movie.
Yes.
I mean.
I mean, they had her naked within minutes of being in that office.
Yeah. So. Multiple people, then her coworkers, and then some dude she probably never even met comes in and is her dad's age.
Yeah.
40 something, you know?
That she's forced to then perform oral sex on. I mean, it's just
so scarring.
It's so egregious. It's hard to believe this is a real thing that happened.
Yeah.
Like much like Abducted in Plain Sight. You're just watching this and you're thinking, this can't be real.
Yeah, there's
this
no
has
way.
To be made up. But unfortunately, it's very real.
And unfortunately, in both situations, a young girl is victimized and harmed at the hands of people who were just being scammed, being led down a primrose path. And it's like, at what point do you say, pump the brakes. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard because do you get into the realm of victim blaming?
Yeah. But I mean, at any time,
we always talk about that though. When do you go from victim to perpetrator?
Yeah. Yeah. At any time you can ask, because a real cop will gladly show you their badge.
Yes.
Will gladly say, sure, you can put me on hold while you call the precinct to make sure this is legit, or call your supervisor at home. They're not going to question any of that. They want you to know that it's legit. So just take a second and do that.
Yeah.
A real cop also won't be offended you're asking that.
Correct.
So if you're thinking, well, I don't want to offend them, and fuck that.
Yeah.
You have every right to do that. Don't worry about being polite.
Yeah. And I did that. ADT had to come do something to my system. And I said, I don't want to be I don't remember how I put it, but of course I made it into a joke, but I said, I'm going to need to see some credentials. And they kind of laughed or whatever. And he's like, no, 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 we get it. And he stepped a few feet back and showed me his face because he had a mask on. And he's like, see, I matched the badge. And I was like, okay. And I had called ADT, so I knew it was them. But he was like, oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're never like, no, let me in. Let me in without seeing my badge. Then that's a red flag. So
yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Good for you on asking that too.
Yeah. And no, ADT called me and I called back I hung up and then called the website listed number because I was so afraid it was a scam. But initially I was like, oh yeah, you can come change something in my house. And then I thought, I did not initiate this call. Oh shit. So I hung up and then called from the website. But that's just because I happened to stop and think after I was going, okay. They're like, hey, this is Barbara with ADT. I'm like, okay. Like, you don't. It, like I said, I'm just saying that to say I am a scam attorney and I still go, okay, sometimes when people,
right.
And I have to stop myself and go, no. Mm-hmm. Some of them are egregiously bad. Like when it's clearly like a fake recording and they're like, this is the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
Like, no,
I get those all the time.
It's not the Federal Reserve.
Well,
it's hard.
That was what we think, I think.
I think so.
Do we have anything else to add?
We summed it up. It's hard to, you know, like you said, say what you would do in that situation. But I think it's pretty egregious that I think we can say what we would do.
And if you at any job or even at your home, if somebody calls and starts asking you to do stuff you're not comfortable with, you have every right to hang up on them or call the cops or, you know, do what you need to do to get to the bottom of it. Yep. Don't feel like you have to blindly follow anybody's orders if it makes you uncomfortable.
You have to let random people on your roof, even if they're handsome. Don't do that.
Don't let the handsome roof guy get up on your roof.
It was very helpful to have Paris go up there. I said, get them off. He goes, well, you told them they could go up there. I said, get their asses down. And they were
what
nice.
What did they say?
They were so nice. They go, Paris goes, hey, y'all get off the roof. And the guy said, oh, well, she told us we could go up there. And he said, I don't think she did. She seems really upset that you're on the roof. Can you come down? Oh, of course. And then my Zoom call ended. So I went outside and I said, I did not know you were going to go on the roof. Will you please come down? And I said, I'm a lawyer. I don't want you to fall off the roof and try. Cause I was like, that would be the perfect scam is you go, you say you're doing a roof estimate, you slip and fall, and then you sue my homeowner's insurance. And he goes, we promise we're insured. And I go, I don't know that. Please come down off my roof. And so he was totally nice. He was like, no. He said, I managed to get some pictures, so I'll still send you an estimate. But he said, no worries. It's totally fine. Like, I'm so sorry for the confusion. I really should have cleared that up with you in advance. And I said, I probably should have asked. And he said, he was just really polite and nice. And again, I went and looked them up afterwards, and they are a totally legit company. It was just, we were like in a hurried exchange. And I just said, oh yeah, go look on the roof. But I thought he was going to walk around the side. It makes sense in hindsight that you cannot accurately estimate roof damage without being on it. But
can't see the top of a roof from the ground.
Not without being,
unless you're real tall or you're on stilts or something.
You got a drone in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? So yeah, but it happens.
So long story short, when's he back replacing all your shingles?
I mean, I got a good estimate, so TBD. And I'm telling you, they had so many 5-star Google reviews, so I don't know.
We have some roof damage too from some storms, so maybe I'll have this hottie over to our house and see what the fuss is all about.
I'm telling you, some people wear jeans. Those jeans were wearing him.
Yes sir.
Yeah.
All right, well, this was a doozy of a mini-sode. This one
was like a
It ties in a lot similar to the Kitty Genevieve stuff too.
I think so.
It's interesting. These kind of weaved together, were woven together.
They dovetail. Yeah, they weaved. I think it was
dovetail's good. Dovetail's good. Well, if you like this episode, we have lots more like this over on our Patreon. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 500 hours of bonus content like today's minisode or our most recent minisode on Tommy Thompson, who has spent over 7 years in jail for refusing to disclose the location of hidden treasure, which,
my goodness,
some people say, I'll die first. And Tommy Thompson is one of those.
He's put it to the test. And the federal government, it's a staring contest. It's a fascinating case. Mm-hmm. And speaking of fascinating cases, we also have an all-new Judge Christie that just released. It features some pretty bizarre disputes, including one of some very noisy neighbors.
Oh, my gosh. I was thinking about this the other night as I was sitting outside on my own patio thinking, what if I could just hear my neighbors just
going at it right now. And by going at it, I don't mean fighting.
No.
Although some children might think that they were, depending on the types of sounds that are coming from the house.
Exactly. Yeah. So Judge Christie lays the law down. Not to mention, I believe you sentenced someone to 13 years in jail in this episode as well. So please tune in to hear what crime is so heinous that Christie has demanded that this IT professional be locked away.
Well, for recent patrons, thank you so much for supporting the show. And make sure you stick around after our sign-offs to hear your shout-out.
You can head to Sinisterhood.com and click on Shop on the top banner to check out all of our Sinisterhood merch. We've got t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, even clothes for your kiddos. You can put it on a dog or a cat, too. No one's judging where you put that baby onesie. And for a limited time, our orders over $20 on our TikTok shop have free shipping. There's also other deals. Go to TikTok and search Sinisterhood Podcast to take advantage of those.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description for sources used during our research. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to live show tickets. So when we go back out on tour, you'll get to get those tickets. You'll also be the first to know if you're a Patreon subscriber. One of the perks is you get VIP access to those tickets before they go on sale to the public. And I think spring, we have a call this week. So I think we'll know some more stuff after this. But I think in the spring, we're going to be heading back out, which I'm very excited about.
Can't wait to see all of y'all. But until then, you can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Go see our lovely faces in video episodes, as well as some best of Patreon clips we got coming for you over on our YouTube channel. At YouTube, just search Sinisterhood Podcast, the same as our TikTok handle. And if you would like custom videos of us talking to you directly, head over to Cameo.com and order a custom video shout out. We like to say happy birthday, happy new year, congrats on the job, happy wedding day. We've gotten to deliver a few, which I have loved. So any beautiful moment you want us to help deliver or be a part of, head to cameo.com and search Sinisterhood. Christy, where are you at online?
I am on Instagram at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
Pretty much everywhere at Heather versus the world.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey everybody, thank you so much for supporting the show. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts. Lindsay Laurie.
Tori.
Haley Turner.
Mary Henderson.
Jeff Sutton.
Sarah.
Catherine.
Shelby Holly.
Amanda Kirsten.
Anna Otto.
Jessica.
Grace Elliott.
Jamie Gormley.
Alex.
Kristen Graney.
And Lisa Goodman. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. We hope we pronounced your names correctly and that you're having a wonderful 2024 so far. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. sofa start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabase pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.